Go, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Kind of pick up where we were last week about being a soldier. And I want to go over that a little bit more, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, by the way, my signature verse is 2 Timothy 2:2, and I believe it is what we're supposed to be doing. I've had people say, I'd like to go to seminary, I'd like to get my degree. If you'll sit here for 3 to 4 years, you'll have more than most seminaries will ever teach you. And I'm so brilliant that I can do it with half my brain tied behind my back. So
you're saying it doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much. Amen? You know, I mean, hey, if I can get it down, anybody can. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't hard. Terry's right. I mean, you know, listen, when it comes to Bible knowledge, I have the least. You want to get good Bible knowledge? Go to a Bible conference, hear the men, great men of God. I mean, when your dad tells you that, you know, there's men that study a lot harder than you do, hey, that's true. But they're not as good looking as I am, and they're not as rich as I am.
Okay.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read in the Word of God. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And I mentioned last week about the drill camp. You know, a drill instructor doesn't get in your face and try to tear you down to tear you down. So when we start to preach doctrines that you may or may not agree with, the thing is you've got to realize that I'm not trying to tear you down, but to reunite you in the mind of Christ. The issues with doctrine is we've got to determine them. Now, on Wednesdays, we've been going over baptism. How many here's learned something new about baptism that they did not know over the last couple Wednesdays? A couple, two or three people. That's good. I mean, the whole idea is to gain knowledge. But sometimes we have to be torn down mentally in order to receive that knowledge. Does that make sense? And we don't do it. It feels like, I remember when Brother Moore did it to me, I felt like he was stepping all over my toes. I mean, for months. And then I got saved. And then I quit kicking against the prick. You know, I quit making it. I just said, I want to get the book down. I mean, that was my number one goal. I wanted to understand the Word of God rightly divided. And I've heard this from thousands of people. And so if you think about becoming a good soldier, most people, when they start, the first part of their soldiering is what they call basic training. And that's what we're doing on Wednesday night, is basic training, preparing soldiers. Well, once you go through basic training, you have a lot better assignment. And by the way, they last longer. Basic training is what? Usually 6 to 12 weeks or something like that. 2 to 3 months. 6 weeks, you know. And that's true. You know, so you go through this intense. It's kind of like discipling. You know, when we first start talking to people about the Word of God, how many here at one time or another been offended? Everybody here. Shirley's been offended twice. You do get offended. How do you think that drill sergeant that's jumping in that guy's face, telling him he's a little weasel? You know, he's probably a little offended too. But he's not doing that to show himself greater. Why is that drill sergeant doing that? To make him stronger, and also to break down his individuality and think like a what? A group. Well, I thought about this passage in soldiership. We have to be broken down. And the breaking down process is never pleasant. Never. Feels like you're stepping on the toes. He says this, no man that warreth entangleth themselves with the affairs of this life. And I want you to think about that. What do they do in basic training? Do they let you go out every weekend? Why do they not let you get into the affairs of this life?
So your mind won't be moved away.
That's exactly right. So your mind won't be moved away. When you first get to studying the Word of God, you know what you need to do? You need to get all of the stuff out of your life. You need to cut the TVs off. You need to think about the Word of God and the seriousness, because what we're talking about in the seriousness and the gravity of the Word of God being rightly divided. Listen, there's things that still need to be debated. How can you teach that which you don't know? Well, you can't do that any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. Y'all understand? You can't teach beyond what you know. So you go to your pastors and your old teachers and say, how many baptisms are there? If they say 2, 3, 4, 5, what do you know? They haven't studied it out. So what would make them qualified in order to teach that? Well, that's what you would have to do. I mean, they're not qualified. It'd be like a brain surgeon that's never done brain surgery teaching on brain surgery. Now, you laugh at that. I hear the chuckles in the crowd going, I mean, I'm a pretty good salesman. I never sold a car before. Tony would laugh if I got on the lot. He'd go, this boy's ignorant. Now, you know, it's okay to be ignorant, right? Staying that way would not be okay. You can learn, right? It's like, you may not know the base, but in a year, you ought to know the base a little bit. You can learn anything. The mind is incredible. So when you're dealing with scriptures, you've got to understand, the first few weeks you're going to get, people are going to get fighting mad. Don't. Relax. Everybody take a deep breath. Come on. Let it out. Just relax. The realization is we want you prepared. Why? You know, there are enemies out there. And the enemy is real. And the enemy doesn't look the way you think it looks. See, that's what people don't understand. Look, if you will, in Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Aren't you glad you showed up today? The enemy is almost like Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. Qaeda, 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 Puda, Qaeda, Ida, Bida, Puda, Tamara, Bududa. Anyway, it's like that. It's like that. You can't tell them from the good Muslims from the bad Muslims. You know, they look a lot alike, you know? Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so it is with the enemies of the cross. You gotta understand, the enemy doesn't look, this is what the enemy doesn't look like. He doesn't have a reptile tail and a pitchfork. That is not the enemy. The enemy looks a lot like you, talks a lot like you, and walks a lot like you. Hard to tell sometimes the enemy. Say, I hear people talk about Christians and generalities. Listen, not all Christians are truly Christians. So you have to be prepared as a soldier to be able to pick. Well, how do we know? Look in Colossians chapter 3 and watch this very, very carefully. I want you to listen to the words very carefully. Verse 17, Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. So the honest walkers are going to be following who? They're going to be following Paul. What would the enemy be following? Somebody other than Paul. You all understand? You can determine the enemy by whom they're following. Say, well, I believe in following Jesus. How many have heard somebody say that? I believe in following Jesus. They don't either believe that as a man in the moon. You know what Jesus told a man? He said, to look upon a woman and to lust after you've committed adultery already in his heart. And he said, it'd be better to pluck out your eyes and let one member perish than your whole body be cast into hell. You see, they don't believe what Jesus said. Jesus told a man, he comes to him in Matthew 19, he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, why calleth me thou good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter in life, do what? Keep the commandments. And he said, which? And he said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and on. He named 7 of them. He says, I've done these from my youth up, what lack I yet? And he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and come follow me. Well, you know, how many people here believe in selling out? You say, well, what did he mean by selling out? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, guess what they did? Sold out. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 through 36, guess what? They laid it at the apostles' feet. Guys, they thought it was a literal selling out. Peter, the guy who was the closest to Jesus, thought he meant to sell out, as in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, and in Matthew 6, verse 19. Amen? Mm-hmm. They look like you. But this is how you distinguish who is and who isn't. The enemy. The enemy would not be caught following the Apostle Paul. The enemy would be following someone other than Paul. That's how you know. Right up. So, well, that's awfully harsh. I don't know anybody who knows to follow the Apostle Paul. Our work is serious. Our work is laid out for us. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, if you don't see how great this work is, you're missing the whole point. He said, brethren, be followers together of me and do what? Mark them which walk, so you have us for an example, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the what? They're destroying, they're attacking, they're diminishing the finished work of Calvary. Did I say Colossians? I'm going to have to whip out that other brain just to check. I may have the wrong brain tied behind my back. I meant Philippians chapter 3.
You said Philippians, then you say Colossians.
Philippians, Colossians, they all... Fiat, you know, I can't help it. Now listen, he's telling you a way of distinguishing. He said they're going to walk, they're going to talk. Hey, listen, you're going to have to watch what they're teaching. They're enemies. They're not just friends. They're not Christians. They're not ringing out for the gospel of Christ. They're not bringing out a development. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, don't you want to know if you're a soldier who your enemy is? The enemy is not the bar-drinking, hell-raising, rebellious guy. The enemy looks a lot like you do. Look around. That's what the enemy looks like. So how do you distinguish him? Well, I know that the people who have been through basic training would be following who? And who would the enemy be following? Jesus or Peter.
Or maybe made their own apostles.
Well, that's true. Terry said, just in case, you could have invented their own apostle. You know, like Luther and Wesley. You know, God didn't say follow Martin Luther. He did not say follow Wesleyan. He didn't say to do that. Who did he say to follow? Follow Paul. So when you see someone not following Paul, what should go up in your mind? Yeah, it might be an enemy. We need to check this out. He's following the wrong person. When does he know that he's following the wrong person? Now, it could be just an ignorant mistake. So you sit down with the person and you start finding out. If a man told you that all you had to do was ask Jesus into your heart and then turn away from your sin, would you consider him a friend or a foe?
Enemy. Enemy of the cross.
You see, he's an enemy of the cross.
Right. So give me a verse.
I mean, I heard a guy the other day say that. Think about what I'm telling you. And you know what? We knew that the battle was on. I mean, Captain D's in the middle of Captain D's, and the battle is on. Enemy in my sight. Telling this lady that all you had to do to be a Christian was believe in Jesus. Well, you know what? The Bible says that Satan believes in and trembles. And listen, believing in Jesus isn't going to get you saved. Believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that He died for your sins on Calvary's cross, was buried, and that He rose again will get you saved. But just believing in Jesus won't get you saved. That would put everybody I know in the body of Christ. And we know that Paul distinguishes, and he's dividing the true believers and religious people. Look what he says. Verse 18 again. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they, come on everybody, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, they're preaching for money, whose glory is in their shame, who mind what? Earthly things. They're never really thinking about eternal things and about going to glory. Have you ever met a Christian that wants to stick around here on earth, planet Earth?
The truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, helping you get more out of the Bible.
Y'all understand? For our conversation, listen, I know people say, well, I'm not ready to go yet. Then you're probably not saved. Like, if you knew that God the Father wanted you in glory, wouldn't you be excited? You would be excited. I would be excited. So you can come up today. I'd go, no, I don't want to go.
I just love this rich world.
No, it'd be like, Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm ready to go. Yeah, ask Larry about it. Is he having any fun? And he's playing with their money. You know, it's like crazy. I mean, it's insane. I want to tell you that this world has some enemies that we need to be able to distinguish. And the problem is they look just like they should be godly. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. We're talking about soldiers and enemies. Soldiers and enemies. Wayne, you want a title for this? Soldiers and enemies. Part 2, be fine. Good. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Now watch this. For such are false apostles. Doesn't sound good. Sounds like a what? Enemy. Everybody. An enemy. A deceitful worker. What do you know about a worker? He works, but he's deceitful. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, what do we know about the apostles of Christ?
There were 12.
They followed who?
Jesus.
So you know a little bit about the enemy right there. What do we know? They would act like apostles of Christ following who?
Jesus.
When God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have you to follow who?
But I bet they don't sell out.
Well, they may or may not, but they're going to take the doctrine. Where do you think they're going to receive their doctrine from? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I mean, not back here. I mean, today.
No, I understand. I'm saying they're going to act like they're apostles of Christ. They're going to get their doctrine from what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Would they be true believers or enemies?
Enemies.
I'm trying to define for you by the Word of God what the enemy looked like. There's enemy out there. We sometimes think, oh, they're Christians. They go to Assembly of God. They go here. They go there. And you know, you can't go by where a person goes. You got to hear what they're saying. Their verbiage. You're listening by the Spirit that comes out of them. That's what you're listening for. If someone says, listen, I believe you can go to heaven by keeping the commandments, what would you think of that person?
They're
the enemy. How many of you thought at one time that they had to keep the commandments to be saved? The majority of us. Guess what? Found out I was lost. I had been an enemy. You see the problem? I mean, we're afraid to define the enemy. So the enemy look like they're these atheists that are attacking this other group, right? When in fact it could be both groups that are enemies. That could be enemy. Can you get this? Enemy fighting enemy, and the truth is over here. Y'all understand? You have to listen to each individual person as they tell you what they believe out of their mouths. I can't go say, well, he's a Methodist. Well, that doesn't mean diddly. What does the person believe individually?
Right.
I was talking to Jean, you know, before she ever came. I believe Jean believes in the finished work of Calvary. She confessed to me that. I've heard a Methodist confess to that. It isn't about Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Church of God. It's what comes out their mouths. So I asked the question, and you ought to write this down. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? And why would you go there? Boy, that's important, isn't it? You say, well, I like to think I'd go to heaven. You say, okay, why? Well, I believe in keeping the commandments. What am I thinking?
Whoa.
Everybody, whoa. That guy's in trouble or girl's in trouble. How about if a person comes in, well, I hope I go to heaven. Say, well, okay, why? Say, because I believe in keeping the commandments of God.
Whoa.
What do you think? Whoa. How about if they come up and said, you know, I want to go to heaven. I believe I'm going to heaven. They say, why? Say, because I believe I'm good. Whoa. How many are good?
None.
You know why you know that? You've been in basic training. There's none good. Say, well, he's a good Christian man. What do you know? They haven't got a clue. The Bible says there's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are of all sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. But he's a good Christian man. There are no Christians that are good.
Amen.
They got a great Savior.
Amen.
But they ain't worth the gunpowder to pull them into hell.
That's right.
See, and you say, well, what do they mean by that? You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm listening to their heart. If you go to a person, are you a Christian? You know, Brenda asked me if I was a Christian. I told her I was tonight. But I was lost as a ball in high weeds. Can't go by, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. That doesn't give you enough information to determine. How many's asked that question to someone? What'd you have, Mac? What'd they say to you?
As we've said before, I go to church. I keep the commandments.
Do the best I can. You've asked some people that question. What do they say? Talk loud. They can't hear you.
They say, well, of course I do.
Yeah, of course. Who else has asked that question? What do they say, Jim?
Well, I try to keep the commandments.
I mean, have you ever really heard someone say, listen, it's because of the finished work of Calvary and His grace of God that has been provided for me through the action and the work of God on His Son at Calvary's cross?
One time.
I've heard it once or twice. And I've asked thousands. Well, then you've got the division of who's the enemy and who's the... And I can guarantee you, you can make a division. Say, well, how serious is it? Well, let me tell you, there's a warfare going on, and they're playing, here's the keeps, for your soul. That's what they're playing for. Your family soul, and I'm talking eternally. And there isn't getting it back. There's no returning it back. And the enemy looks and walks and talks again. In fact, they look like they're the apostles of who? They look like that. It'd be very hard to say, well, that person isn't a Christian. He really loves Jesus. Yeah, but what does he believe about Jesus? You know? I love Jesus. Well, if you really love Jesus, you'd be following the Apostle Paul.
That's right. Amen.
How many people do you know in your walk of life and your rim of influence, how many of you know a person other than yourself that believes that Paul is their apostle? I mean, in your other realm of influence, will you, anybody. How many here know people that go to church? Just about all of us. But how many here know anyone that believes that they ought to be following the Apostle Paul? Just this group, they're saying, for you on the internet. How about you? I mean, that's kind of weird, isn't it? If Jesus Christ came into this room, you know what he'd say? He'd say, follow the Apostle Paul. Come on, guys. These guys are turning themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now watch. Verse 13 again. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. By the way, what else did the apostles of Christ do? That's right, they did signs and wonders. Guess what people are doing today?
Signs and wonders.
But what did Paul do with Timothy? He told him to use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. He didn't heal Timothy, and he left Miletus sick. All I'm trying to tell you guys is that something happened that we as soldiers should know about. An M.O. had come out. A mode of operandi. I mean, it's come out to what is actually happening in today, and you need to be aware of it. And this is, you know what this basically is? What we do here is we declare out the doctrine or the MOs, the operating or whatever it is, mode of operandi. That's what we do. We're letting you know how you know. And you know what? You've got to determine in your own mind who the enemy is. During the Vietnam War, a lot of the guys drafted didn't want to go. You know who they thought the enemy was? Their own government. And a lot of them died because they couldn't figure it out. I would say that there's a lot of Christians being consumed with a sword because they're not well aware. In fact, you know what? In Hosea, when the lowest point of Israel had come, and Hosea had written, and she had picked out a little whore, Hosea did, and had three children. The last one was called Lo Am I, and basically it wasn't God's people. But you know what he said? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And those soldiers were not prepared. You know, listen, if I'm going to go in and shoot somebody, I want to know how to clean out my M16, don't you? I do not want that gun to jam. I want to know all about it, don't you? I mean, if you're going into war, and you know what? I want, if William's fighting on my right and Larry's on my left, I want them to know how to operate it too. Y'all understand? Yet in churches, we don't have the person on the right very well skilled, or the person on the left. And I can prove this. Stan was going to a church in Eufaula. Do you mind if I tell this story? Stan was in this church. We had a deacon that went. Didn't he go to that same church? Yeah. I can tell you that they didn't have a clue what was going on. Stan was teaching Sunday school, and Bob was a deacon. And both of them were lost as a ball in high weeds. Now, that church got a new preacher. And you know what that preacher did? He changed the version from a King, it was a King James church, to the NIV, wasn't it? And nobody stood up and said, hey, do you realize that Bible verse, version is missing some verses? Preacher, I bet you $5 the preacher has no clue. $5. And I'm not a betting man. As you can tell, $5 ain't a lot of money. If I was a real betting man, I'd put a few more dollars on that. I guarantee you he has no clue that it's missing Matthew 18, verse 11, completely left out. Or that it lied in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. Or that Acts 8, 37. He doesn't know. He made the switch and not a single person. I would have been standing up and say, well, preacher, let's have a debate about this. And I think I could have convinced them that they were grabbing the wrong version. Guess what happened, though? Because men were not students. They hadn't gone through basic training. They weren't well skilled. They weren't well developed. They kept babies, and the enemy came and took them. You don't think it's a big deal? Guys, let me tell you, we're playing for keeps. Are you listening to me? We're playing for keeps. It's a big deal to me. This thing I'm passionate about. I'll tell you I'm passionate. You know why? Because I see the enemy out there in a very, they look like us, they talk like us, but when you really hear what they're saying, they aren't saying the same thing that we're saying. Amen?
Amen.
And you can hear it in Christendom if you listen. I know Jim goes out and witnesses all the time. How many of you really found out that really knows the truth, that really promotes Christ being their Savior? I know you've talked to thousands.
I really hadn't found anybody that they they're so confused,
right,
that when I show them in the New Testament where Paul obviously is their apostle, yeah, but you know, what do you think about this or that in the Old Testament? I said, son, I'm not really interested in that right now.
I know. You got to talk loud.
One that really get them when Paul said, do you follow the me as I am of Christ?
Oh, yeah. Has anybody really found anybody just jumped out and said, hey, I believe that Christ died for my sins, I'm saved, praise God? I mean, you're talking a handful compared to the other. And you say there's not a problem? And these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the what?
Apostles of Christ.
Apostles of Christ, and where would they get their doctrine? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Come on, that was terrible. Try it again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what, you know what I studied as a Methodist my whole time growing up? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mac, as a Church of Christ, what did you study? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
First part of Acts.
And the first part of the book of Acts. As a Baptist, what do you study? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Why is there a problem here? These people have transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. Where did they get their doctrine from? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Where do we get our doctrine from? Romans through Philemon, and even that has to be rightly divided. Huh. Starting to see the battlefield? You're called soldiers of the cross of Christ. You need to be well equipped. Hey, you don't need to just be listening to me. You need to be studying this book on your days off and days in. And I'm not just talking reading. I'm talking about figuring it out. Why? You know what? You need to have the answer. Come on down. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also transformed. Now watch this. As the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their
works.
Look what I've done. Look at the ministry. You know what? This ministry, look around, is not too impressive, is it? Pretty pitiful in the light of Joel Osteen. Amen? Look around. It's pretty pitiful. But the Bible says that which is highly exalted above men shall be brought down. You know, listen, it's an abomination to the Lord. But that which is lowly shall be brought up. Isn't that interesting?
That verse reveals the mega churches, what they really are.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what the Bible says? There'll be a great falling away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of, come on, doctrines of devils. And that's what we're facing. The last days, the time of grace that is coming to an end, is in darkness. And people have no clue what's going on. And they're walking through. You know, 100 years ago, people had a clue? Do you realize that Scofield knew how to rightly divide the Bible? Do you realize that Clarence Larkin, a Baptist, knew how to rightly divide the Bible? Dr. DeHaan knew how to rightly divide the Word of God? Why don't anybody know how to rightly divide the Word of God now?
They're not following Paul.
They're falling away, giving heed to seducing spirits of the enemy got them. Dr. DeHaan came out of the Baptist church, started teaching grace, and realized he couldn't make a living, went back into the Baptist church because of the pressure. The enemy. And they're all around us. And you better start determining who is and who ain't. You know what? You do that by words. Their ends will be according to their works. And you're a good soldier. And to be a good soldier, you come in and you train and you train and you train and you work lights out and you clean up your gun, you get your sword out and you polish the sword and you sharpen the edges. Amen? Hey, there's coming a time when you're going to need to do it. Hey, there are people out there that are trying to deceive you. And I don't care if they're world famous. In fact, most of the world famous ones are the worst at it. I mean, if you mention certain great leaders, how many has heard Billy Graham? What does he say at the end? Well, come down. What does he say? And why would you turn away from your sin? Whose work, whose end is according to their work. I turned away from my sin. Let me read you Paul's verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Well, isn't turning away from your sin something you do? Now, here's a man that have had huge revivals. He's esteemed among the Christian community. What do you think of that? How many would consider him an enemy? That's hard to say, isn't it? How about if you said that in front of somebody who was a Billy Graham follower?
I did.
Let me answer that for him. Whoa, whoa.
I was lost, too. That was interesting.
Yeah, it's always best to do that when you're saved.
But they got mad. I mean, they...
But come on, don't we all? Do you know what? Rate a person based upon his words. You know what the Bible says? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Can't follow two masters. You're going to follow the one or hate the other and on 1 Corinthians 10. You've got to determine what it is you want. What you want is true. It's going to cost you. How do I know that? Go to 2 Timothy. Maybe 1 Timothy. Let me get over there. 2 Timothy, verse 12. You want to really live a godly life? I can tell you what would happen if you did. Yeah, what did I say? 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. That's where I'm at. Where did I not say that? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, come on, help me, shall suffer persecution. Do you think Billy Graham suffered any persecution? How about these mega churches? You think Joel Osteen's suffering any persecution other than his wife getting on the airline? I just want you to think about it. If you're really living godly, people are going to put you down, run you over, tell you how lousy you are. I mean, you know, I know that I'm doing some good. People get all kinds of feathered ruffle. I understand. The battle is on. You don't think it's being played for keeps? The battle is on. And it ain't you against the government. No, no. It's you against most of your friends. You start to tell them the truth. You know what Paul said? Look in Galatians. Look in Galatians chapter 4. I hear you guys quoting it, but I knew where it was. Verse 16, Galatians 4, verse 16. The Bible says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? People get offended and they think you're the enemy. Hey, why would you be the enemy if you're sitting there showing them the truth and the truth and the truth? And you're just trying to get them to see. What is the commission to the church? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Amen. You all understand? So I start to show people the mystery. They get all wigged out and bent out of shape. Hey, I'm not trying to make them mad. You know, listen, guys, I would love this church to be 200 members, wouldn't you? What do you think the odds of that is? You know why? Not because of my personality. Not because it's the truth that is so offensive. It is. It's offensive. It's offensive to everything we learn. And I know it's offensive. The thing is you can't stop it from being offensive. And we're going to continue this. We're going to talk about the double-edged sword after a break.